Jacob gets the blessing, part two. This is Genesis 28. These Genesis stories, starting from Abraham, are stories of a very human family. Four generations of this family, and God's divine blessing on that family. God's plan, the very first time God spoke to Abraham, beginning of chapter 12, was that this blessing would eventually go to all the nations. And that happened through Christ and through faith in him. So the New Testament makes clear several times that Gentiles have inherited this very blessing. So these stories are important for us because they tell us how God blesses and what kind of people God blesses and how it works. So we cannot afford to just make these old stories about something else. This is God's blessing and how it works. And none of the blessings, none of the basic principles of how this works and the patterns have changed very much. Does God care how we live? Carly asked me something to that effect after the last sermon. Things I've been thinking about. Why does God bless this family in spite of their failures and their sins? Does God not care how we live? First of all, faithfulness to God does bring reward by the end, and rebellion against God will bring judgment at the end. We got that in Genesis 3, 2 and 3 about the two trees. People got a choice about a life tree and a take your own way tree. And one brings good things and one brings bad things. And that's evident by the end of Genesis 2, and it hasn't changed. So that's part of the whole Bible. In these Genesis stories, though, the first thing that God wants to make clear is how determined he is to bless his people. He wants to bless, and he will bless, those who respond to him. He is determined to do that, even when there are serious failures in their lives, people. He will do that. In Genesis, God wants to bless, and that comes first. Now, I want you to think, we're just going to cover here briefly the first three books of the Bible. In Genesis, we find out that God wants to bless. In Exodus, they get the Ten Commandments, and he builds a tabernacle. So we find out that there are standards about how God's people are going to live, things you will do and not do, and you find out that God wants to live with people. The people in Genesis know everything in the Ten Commandments. Don't make any, they know all of that. There's no surprise in those people. Anyway, that's what happens in Exodus, and then in Leviticus we find out that God is holy, and that it's dangerous for sinful people to live beside a holy God. And so God shows them how to sacrifice and make atonement so that the holy God can live with sinful people. And so on it goes. But in Genesis, the first thing is that God wants to bless. And everything else comes after that. It's built on it. It doesn't take it away. And we sometimes treat the other things as if they took away the first thing. But the first thing is that God wants to bless. Folks, nobody ever earns God's blessing. There is teaching around and books around that say if you do this way or you do that way, you will get a certain blessing from God. If you've gone down that road, you know that it doesn't usually work out that well, does it? It's not true, people. That never works out. God wants to bless and he does so, but it's never like that. He can be served, folks. He cannot be managed. He can be served. He cannot be managed. And there's lots of seminars and books that will say something else. But we've all tried that a little bit, and it doesn't actually work that well because you can't actually do it. And somebody's got a story how it worked for them, but it's not your story and it's not mine. And it didn't really work in the Bible either. He can be served and not managed. Nobody ever earned God's blessing. Ever. He wants to bless. He's looking for an excuse to bless. And when we get it, it's because God wants to do that, and he is resolved to do that, to bring good things into people's lives, including those that don't worship him often enough. And you know that too. All right, now we're going to review last week's sermon a little bit. Jacob getting Abraham's blessing. We're picking up the story today halfway through. Last sermon, we went through the last part of chapter 25 and chapters 27, and I covered eight sections which aren't important, but every one of those show some kind of failure in that family's life. And some kind of a problem, and the family, folks, that God blessed was nothing like a perfect family. The individuals weren't, and the family wasn't. Significant family troubles. Two key events happened in that part. One, Jacob stole his brother Esau's blessing from him. At his mother's command, his mother Rebekah's command, Jacob lied to his father. He pretended to be Esau, and he ended up with his father's blessing. Jacob got the blessing intended for Esau by fooling his father. Okay, that's the first thing. Second, Esau wants to kill Jacob in revenge, so Rebekah, their mother, arranged for Jacob to flee to Haran, 500 miles away. And we're going to have a short fleeing, and then we'll carry on. I know. My thoughts exactly. All right. We're going to go through chapter 28 in seven sections. Soon. Chapter 28, verse 1. Isaac blesses Jacob, and this time he knows it's Jacob. So, Rebecca says, if Jacob marries Canaanite women, my life is not worth living. And Isaac says, good point. I'll send Jacob to Haran. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and he commanded Jacob, and he said, don't marry a Canaanite woman. Go to your mother's family and marry one of Laban's daughters. And then Isaac gave his son Jacob, who recently deceived him, a great and wonderful blessing. This could have happened within a couple of days here. Isaac said to Jacob, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful. May he give you and your descendants the blessing of Abraham so that you possess the land where you're now a foreigner. Isaac said to his son Jacob, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, and may he give you the blessing of Abraham, so this land will belong to your descendants. We have to give Isaac full credit here. He had wanted to bless Esau, who was the son he loved. He did not love Jacob. And Jacob lied to him and stole the blessing. And when Isaac found out, he turned around. Maybe Isaac can see that God has something else in mind than what he wanted. Perhaps Isaac remembers God told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. Isaac can see that that's what God's doing. Anyway, Isaac had as much right as Esau pretty well to be frustrated and furious with his son. But he completely lost that. And he gave Jacob the full, rich blessing of Abraham, right on the heels of this other event. Why did he not say that to Esau? Why does he say so much more to Jacob this time when he knows it's Jacob than he said the last chapter to Jacob when he thought it was Esau? I think Isaac would have loved to give all this to Esau, but Esau at no point shows any interest in God. There's lots of conversations with Esau. He never uses the name Yahweh once. He never mentions God, the more generic term, once. Not once in Genesis. He has no interest in that. And so Isaac's hands are tied. He can't give him the blessing of Abraham. And for all his other failures, Jacob worships the living God. He's a servant of the living God. And Isaac knows it. And so Isaac decides that when he mistakenly blessed Jacob, not Esau, that was actually God's doing. And God wanted this one, and so Isaac cooperated completely. He's impressive. What Isaac does here in this chapter is impressive. Number 2, chapter 28, verse 6. Esau learns about his wives. So Esau heard about this. Isaac tells Jacob, don't marry a Canaanite woman. And he heard that Isaac blessed Jacob, and he knew it was Jacob. And that Jacob obeyed and went away to find a wife in Haran. And then, for the first time, Esau realizes that his father does not like his Canaanite wives. We were told in chapter 25 that they displeased his parents. But he didn't know that. Now he figures out, oh, Dad doesn't like my wives. So he marries a third wife, who's not a Canaanite. But listen, he also must have heard that Isaac gave Jacob the blessing of Abraham, the full blessing of Abraham. May God Almighty bless you. And that when Isaac spoke to Jacob, knowing it was Jacob, he gave him a lot fuller blessing than what he'd heard before. And Esau really has no interest in that. The only thing he takes away from this is, well, I should have a wife who's not a Canaanite. That's what he took away from that, which he did. Number 3, Jacob dreams in the stairway to heaven. Chapter 28, verse 10. Let's talk about the stone pillow. That is probably not correct. What it actually says in Hebrew is that Jacob took some of the stones there and put them at his head. Okay, he took some stones, plural, and put them at his head. It's the same line in 1 Samuel 26 where King Saul had a spear at his head. And 1 Kings 19 where Elijah woke up and found a loaf of bread at his head. His head's not on them. So the Hebrew word translated under here can mean all kinds of things, and under is not the most common. You know, I've done quite a bit of wilderness camping and used all kinds of things for a pillow that weren't pillows. But a stone? Oh, I'd use my arm or my boot before I'd use a stone. I don't think he used a stone as his pillow. So what it says, he set up stones at his head. And later he turns one of them into a pillar. But that's what it actually said. He set up stones at his head. So I have a lot better feeling about Isaac's first nice. No wonder he had. Anyway, never mind that alone. So it sounds like the stones are maybe like a little bit of a barrier or a fence, but he's out in the open. Isaac had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a ladder. In the dream, he saw a ladder or a stairway resting on earth near him, its top reaching right up to heaven. And the angels of God were going up and coming down on that stairway. Jacob's at the bottom, God's at the top, angels going up from Jacob, coming down from God to him. That's a wonderful picture, folks, and it's not very hard to figure out. Angels are God's servants. So you put yourself at the bottom of a stairway like that. You try that. And there's a stairway from God to you. And God's servants are always going up from you to him, and they're always coming down from him to you. That's pretty good. You could do a lot worse. God's servants are always going up from us to him, and they're always coming down from him to us. And we're at the bottom. And listen, this is Abraham's blessing. Okay, this is what you get when you get the blessing of Abraham. That's what it means to be blessed by God and to inherit his blessing. Listen, Jacob's life did not get better the next day. There was no big change about his life. His troubles did not end. Nothing close to that. Nevertheless, God's heavenly servants were going up from him to God and down from God back to him continually. So you have to imagine that you're there's a stairway like that, and the bottom is where you sleep. And then God spoke. Number 4, God blesses Jacob. 28:13. God spoke, "I'm Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants this land. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. They will spread out everywhere, and all peoples of earth will be blessed through you." And Jacob, "I'm with you. I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised." Verse 15 begins with the Hebrew, behold, which the NIV ignores. Behold, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. See, because our life doesn't get easy, we don't believe this. No. And so that's why God says, behold. Like, what's he supposed to say? Jacob, I would like you to pay attention. I will be with you, and I will go with you and take care of you wherever you go. Jacob, get this straight. This is what I'm going to do. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. This is one of the more common lines in the whole Bible. God is saying this to his people all the time, and because our lives don't get better, we don't believe it. So that's just how it is, and I'm no different than you are. But he means it, and it's true. It says at the end here, I will not leave you until. That doesn't mean God will leave Jacob at any time. It means his help will outlast his travels. When Jacob was very old, he moved to Egypt. And even there, God said, don't worry, Jacob, I'll go with you. So it doesn't end. God was always with Jacob. Now, just about everything. So this is the blessing that happens when he's dreaming about the stairway. Just about everything here we've heard before in Genesis. God said these things directly to Abraham, and he said them directly to Isaac. And now in a dream with the angels on the stairs, God says it for the first time to Isaac's son Jacob. So Isaac's blessing has come in three parts. One, the one he stole. Okay, when he went in to Isaac's tent and pretended to be Esau. Secondly, the one his father Jacob gave him when he was going to get a wife. That was bigger. It was a richer blessing. And now God himself speaks and gives him that blessing. God confirms what he's already done. So this is Jacob's story so far. Number five, Jacob's response in the night. After the dream, Isaac woke up. It's apparently still night. And he said to himself, Yahweh himself is in this place, for sure, and I didn't know it. This is not an ordinary place. He was afraid, and he said, this is a God place. This can only be the house of God, the gate of heaven. So, now, Jacob assumes here, if you read between the lines a little bit, that there are certain places on earth, and from that place, a gate opens to God. It's a gateway to God. And the fact that he had a dream about the stairway means he slept in one of those places. That's what this means. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he now believes that he happened to lie down and sleep at just such a place, which is why he had this dream. He says, wow, this is not an ordinary place. This is a God place. This is the gate of heaven. So we've talked about this before, but it comes up in Exodus. Is there a place, a room, a place where God met you, where something unusual happened, ever, where you got encouragement or some kind of a movement from God? Well, and maybe it happens more often than once when you go to that place. I don't know. But that's what happened to Isaac, to Jacob, and it happened to Isaac before him, and he designated that place as, this is one of those God places, this is a gateway to heaven. And so he remembered that place and the way God spoke, and he came back to that place. So I'm not sure he's right that there are certain places, because God said, I will be with you wherever you go. Okay, that's still going on here. It's not like we have to be in one spot to be in contact with God. But if something unusual happens in a place, make a mental note at least. Maybe there's something going on with God in that place. We assume God doesn't work in such magical ways, but we don't actually have any idea how things like that work. So don't say that. All right, so that's what he did in the night. That's what he's saying to himself. This is a God place. This is the gateway to heaven. In the morning, which seems to be a bit later, Jacob took a stone. He took one of the stones, we assume, that he had put by his head, and he set it up a pillar. Maybe he put a stone on end or put it on another stone. And he put oil on it. He just poured oil on it. He could not leave that place without somehow acknowledging that God had met him there. And he named it Bethel, which means the house of God. And now the last point, chapter 28, verse 20. Jacob's vow. In the Old Testament, people make vows to God. God, if you do this for me, I will do that for you. I do not recommend the kind of thing I talked about a couple of weeks ago, the kind of vow where you have to do something for a long time. We don't do well, and I've made other vows like that that I broke, so don't do it. The only reason I kept that one is beside the Lord decided to give me no choice. The normal vow is to say, if you will get me through this trouble, God, if you will get me through this day, God, if you will get me through this day, I will praise you in the congregation for helping you. And God considers that a fair exchange. Sometimes they added a gift, a one-time thank offering. I will praise you and I will give you a gift. So God considers that a good deal. And if you will praise him openly, and then he will, and if he rescues you from the thing that scares you, then that would be good. He likes to operate on that basis. Jacob said, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey and give me food and clothes so that I come safely back home, then Yahweh alone will be my God, and this stone pillar will be God's house, and God, I will give you a tenth of all you give me. We think tithing began with the law of Moses, but it began before that. Both Abraham and Jacob gave a tenth to God. That's going on before Moses. And the important line here is, of all that you give me. So what nearly all of us do is come into the world naked. Perhaps you were different, but most of us come into the world naked. And so everything since then is from God. And yes, maybe you worked hard, but that also comes from God, and not everybody can do that. And some people have it, and then they lose it. So it comes from God. It all comes from God. And so that tithing begins in that way. We came into the world, and one of the responses to God being with us and watching us over us is to give. So God did what he promised. 20 years later, Jacob and his wives were coming back from Haran to Bethel, and Jacob told his family, we are going back to Bethel, where God answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So what we find out 20 years later is that night when he was sleeping and had the dream about the stairway, that was the day of his distress. That was a very dark day. His brother wants to kill him, so he has just left home. And who knows how far Esau is behind, and who knows what's ahead. He's the first day into a 500-mile trip on foot or camel or something, and he's never been there before. And Jacob called that night the day of my distress, and God answered him. And God kept his promise. So let's go to summarize the story a little bit. So this two-part sermon shows that God's blessing moved from Isaac to Jacob. Jacob stole the blessing and lied to his father, and then Isaac blessed Jacob again. And third, fleeing to escape Esau, God came to Jacob and gave him the rest rich of blessing at all, gave the richest blessing of all. None of this is tidy. See, we are talking about how the blessing of God moves, how people get it, how it goes from one person to another. This is a messy family, but God had decided to start blessing with that family, and he made it good. And this is God's determination. So the story makes really clear that people have never deserved this. We have never earned it. We've never had it coming. We've never done the thing that would bring us blessing. And God makes this clear by giving us repeated stories of people who did not deserve the blessing. But they got it. Because he had decided he would do it, and he kept his promise. So get your head around that kind of God. Maybe this is a little change for you, or maybe a big change, or maybe you've known this all along. But this is something really important that Genesis wants to get across to us all. These people's failures brought consequences on themselves, and sometimes things happened to them that they didn't deserve. Just what we would call bad luck. Their lives were not trouble-free. But God said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will bless you. I will be with you. I will take care of you. I will bring you to a good place of your own. That's the blessing. Don't be afraid. I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. I'll go with you. I'll watch over you. And I will bring you to a good place of your own. That's the basic blessing. And that's the same one that we have. And this is our God. And when we come to this God and we trust in this God and we worship this God. And from the first time God opened his mouth to Abraham, he wanted this blessing to go to all the nations. So what we have here, that was his plan from the start, and that's he did through Christ, and that's what we have now. So this is how we get where we are. It's because God got this going with that family, and then it just sort of exploded. Amen. Let's pray.